on overcoming. Amen? And this morning, we've got some people out. So I need my amen corner.
Amen.
Amen. All right. So overcoming your mountains. So let's take a small mountain. The smallest mountain that I have ever climbed or ever walked up would probably be Stone Mountain. How many's ever climbed Stone Mountain or walked up Stone Mountain? You know, they got a halfway point for us old folks. Then when we get there, we go, because we wore out. Because it's been a struggle to get from the bottom to the halfway point. Amen? And then when we get to the top, we're thinking, dear Jesus, I'm not going back down. We're just going to pitch a tent right here and live. And that's just a little mountain. Amen? And then I've been to a mountain that wasn't steep at all. Probably not as steep as Stone Mountain, that I've had to use a rope to climb because it was so many people. I've had to step over people. 20,000 people to walk a half a mile up a mountain because they were out there all night long and all week long waiting to hear a word from God. That's starving for a word, amen?
Amen.
They were there waiting to hear what God had to tell them. And then, coincidentally enough, this past week, I was in the mountains. I was in the mountains. And I got to thinking, on my drive up from the bottom of the mountain to where we had to stay. It was 27 miles. And it took over an hour to get there. 27 miles and over an hour to get there. Why in the world, Pastor Shane? Because the roads went like this. All the way. You could only drive 20, 25 miles an hour. And I got to thinking, that's where we're at. Church, that's exactly where we're at, because in our climbing the mountains, we don't ever go straight up. We never go straight to the top, straight down. Amen. Sometimes we have to go to the left. Sometimes we have to go to the right. Sometimes we have to stop. Then we have to keep going. Then we have to wait for the animals to cross. Then we have to wait for the rivers to calm down a little bit. But eventually, we get to the top. Amen. It may take a little time. It may take a little while, but eventually we get to the top. Hello, church. But a mountain was never intended to go straight up through the middle. Amen. Because they wouldn't call it a mountain if it was just a straight path. They'd have just called it a road. Amen. Our mountains are not easy. Church, our mountains are not easy. We all have curves and windy roads. Amen? Some of us have more curves. Some of us have more bumps in the road. But let me tell you something this morning, church. Our mountains does not determine on our education. Our mountains don't determine our background. Our mountains don't determine our jobs. Our mountains are not how much money we've got. Well, Pastor Shane, I got a lot of money. Well, you're at the right church. Come on in. Come on in, because we need a building fund. But Pastor Shane, I have a bunch of money, and sometimes I can buy my way through. No, ma'am. No, sir. You can't buy your way over a mountain. Amen? Because God allows these mountains to be put in place sometimes for us to learn. Sometimes God allows these mountains so that we can help other people. Amen?
Amen?
We all have our own individual mountains to climb. These mountains at times can seem too steep for us to climb. I got thinking, how many's ever been to a carnival or a fair and you've seen the wall that's got the rocks on it?
Yeah.
I imagine sometimes in life our mountains are like that. But we don't have a harness to catch us if we fall. Well, Pastor, what happens if we fall? It hurts. But we have to get right back up and we do it again. Till we get to that hurdle. You know, I grew up in a military home. My dad was in the military. And I've often wondered, because you see different movies, an obstacle course that they have to go down. They climb the wall. They jump the wall. They go through the tires. They go through the mud. They pull themselves up with ropes. They do all these things without a harness. What happens when they fall? You start at the front. And you do it all over again. Because you have to be perfect in getting through the obstacle course. Amen? And God puts these mountains and these obstacle courses in our way so that we can help somebody else. We are being trained. Amen? Amen. But God has promised us that he will help us not only climb or move it, but he will also overcome that mountain with us. Amen? Because we serve an on-time God who will be there right on time to help us, right? He may wait till the very end, but right on time, God's always there. Amen? He's helped me out in times where I thought, okay, it's it. I'm standing right here on the edge of this mountain, and I'm teetering. Lord, where you at? I'm fixing to fall, Lord. And then he pulls me back. Hey, man, how many's ever been there? How many's ever been there? These mountains that we face, we've talked about them this past month. We've had a mountain of our past. We've had a mountain of hurt. We've had a mountain of fear. We've had a mountain of insecurities. God will help us navigate through every one of those. Yes. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? We're quiet this morning, church.
Amen.
He will help us navigate through each and every one of them. Everyone overcomes a mountain. Everyone has overcome a mountain this past month. Amen?
Yes.
We have all overcome different things and learning from our series in September. I thank God and I'm so excited about our overcoming series. That when we was up in the mountains, God was speaking to me about certain things, and I was praying and I told my wife, I said, we need to have something every month for the rest of the year. Some series every month the rest of the year. I said, because people around us, people in our community, people in our family, people that we love, our friends, they're going through something. And if they have a series that can help them, because how many know sometimes when you come to church and you hear a message, that's over. Next week's a different message. Next week's a different message. They do help you. But how many knows we need some education? How many knows we need some teaching? How many knows we need some Holy Ghost fashion preaching?
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Church, we may have mountains of finance problems. We may have job stress. We may have spouse problems. Our children may be giving us problems, or even family problems. Amen?
Amen.
Is anybody in here relate to any of those mountains?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Amen? At times, these mountains become overwhelming. That poses a threat to our bodies. Ooh, what are you talking about now, Pastor? Sometimes our bodies can start breaking down. Our minds can be affected, our health, and it can even affect survival. Ooh. So you're telling me, Pastor, that my mountain that I'm facing, that I'm having so hard of a time to climb because I'm trying to go right through the middle and weave and bob and try to go through the obstacles and find out what God's trying to show me. I'm having a problem with this. So you're telling me, Pastor, that it's going to affect my body, my mind, my health, and even may cause me death? Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir, I am. Why? Because our mind and our body and our health is who we are.
Yes.
And has anybody ever worried about anything?
No.
I have. And I have weighed, I have been awoke at night and I have sat there and I have cried and I have asked God, what am I supposed to do? I have worried myself sick where I have lost weight. I have worried myself to where I have physically had ulcers. I have worried myself to the point to where nothing else mattered. Guilty as charged. Why? Because sometimes the devil will put you there. Amen?
Yes.
And at times, these mountains can overcome all of these health issues. Amen? Sometimes we can get so sick and weary in our bodies. Lord, what's going to happen next? Don't ever ask that. It can't get any worse, Lord. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir, it can. I remember sitting in a doctor's office. The doctor telling me the week before, you're going to have knee replacements. But, sir, we can't do them right now because you're too young. So you're telling me I'm supposed to be miserable until I get old, and then it's okay for me to walk? Makes no sense to me. Then I got so stressed about it that I didn't want to eat because I was worried about my physical body now. It's the devil. And then I remember going to the doctor, and I was sitting on the seat in the waiting room. And I heard a man come in the door, and the lady said, "How are you doing?" He said, "Well, praise Jesus, I'm doing great today. I've got God on my side. We had a great church service yesterday," and he came in walking. And I looked over there at him, and he was in a pair of shorts, but he was walking. And he was talking to the lady. He goes, "You know, God's so good. He's given me life." And I'm thinking, man, this guy, he's got God all over him. And I'm watching him. He's just walking back and forth. He's preaching to these ladies. I look down, and the man had no legs. He had no legs. He had metal hooks on the bottom of his feet where he was walking. And I thought, I'm complaining about some knee pain. And I have let it affect me so bad that it's got into my mind. And now it's got into my health and my body. And this man is praising Jesus with no legs. Yeah. Amen? Sometimes our little bitty problems, are not even worth mentioning. Amen? Amen? No matter how high, I've lost my place. Our problems does not matter when we got God on our side. No matter how high our problems are. No matter how high we have to climb. Amen? Because God's always got a safety rope on us. God's always on our side. It tells us in Zechariah 4 and verse 6. This is the word of God addressing Zerubbabel, who was working on the temple of God in Jerusalem. And it says in verse 6, "And then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might nor by power, but my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." Amen. By the Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Church, no matter what we face, Jesus has promised he will always be with us. Amen. Jesus will be with us no matter what. Turn to Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. "Teaching them to obviously all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, am I with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen?
Amen.
So God is telling us right here that he's just not with us sometimes. He's not just with us when we need him. He's just not with us when it's convenient for us. He's not just with us when he ain't got nothing else to do. He's with us all the time. When we want him, when we don't want him, he's there all the time. Amen, church? All the problems I'm facing, are they new?
Mm-mm.
All the mountains that you're facing, are they new mountains?
Mm-mm.
No, they may be new to you. Church, sometimes when we go through something, we're the only ones going through it. Amen? I have heard people come in saying, "Lord, I have just worked 40-hour week. They were rough to me this week. They beat me up." We've been there. You know what? Sister Vicky, I cut my finger this week. It hurt so bad. I thought it was going to fall off. What did you cut it on? I have a little fishing hook. But that little finger, it hurt so bad. And I thought it was going to affect my finger. It was going to fall off. And then my hand got hurting because my finger was hurting, and I thought it was going to fall off. And then my arm hurt, and I thought my arm was going to fall off. We're the only ones that ever get hurt. We're the only ones that ever have problems, right? When we're going through them. I can't relate to your problems because I'm not going through them. You can't relate to my problems because you're not going through what I'm going through. But we all have problems. We've all been there. They're not new problems. But that's what the enemy wants us to believe. That's what the enemy wants us to think. That we're the only ones that's ever had these pressures, these problems, because he wants to bind us up. Amen? He wants us to be bound up. The problems that we face today have been around for a long time. Nothing new, church. Nothing new. God will help you overcome your trials and your mountains. It's also important for us to understand that although we suffer many things and many roadblocks in our way, that God is always by our side. He's always promised us the way. He will never leave us nor forsake us. It says that in your Bible. It says that in your Bible. It says he will never leave us nor forsake us. In that midnight hour when you're awoke and you're praying and you're saying, God, where are you? I need an answer from you. God says, I'm right here. God says, I'm listening to every word, every thought, every problem, every mountain that you're facing today. Church, look at me. We have had people in this congregation face cancer. We have had people in this congregation faced with blindness. More than once. More than one person with cancer. I know of three. In all of these cases, do you know what they say? Thank God for the mountain. Thank God for the mountain. Thank you, God, for taking my sight so that I can see what you're trying to tell me. Thank you, God, for taking my sight so I can see what you're trying to tell me. Sometimes we need to stop. Sometimes we need to understand what God's trying to tell us. Thank you, God, for putting me on my rear end and knocking me down so I can hear what you've got to tell me. Pastor, that's really hard for me to swallow. You're telling me that these people are thanking God for their illness? Yeah. Yes, I am. It was hard for me to swallow when I heard it too. But you know what? Thank you, Jesus. That we serve a God that will give them perfect peace as they go through their mountain. Give them perfect peace as they're going through their treatments. Give them perfect peace not knowing if they're ever going to be able to see anything else in their life again. That is overcoming the mountain. That is having the peace of God. Amen? Amen. Pastor, what would you do? Hope I never face with it. But I hope I have enough of the Holy Spirit in me to be thankful for the storm that I'm in. Amen? Amen. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need. Yes. That's the verse that I think about when people are sick. That's the verse when I don't feel good. That's the verse that I think about. That's the verse that I think about when I pray for you. When I'm up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and I'm praying for each and one of you, that's the verse. Amen? Amen. Boldly. Amen? God, help us overcome our mountains by encouraging us through the Word of God. Through the Word of God. Many times I am faced with obstacles and the Lord allows me and gives me a tool. So when I'm faced with a problem, you're telling me that I'm faced, I have a tool?
Yep.
So when you're faced with a mountain right in front of you and you don't know what to do, and you have a tool. Everybody in this room should have one. If you don't, come see me after church. It's a tool. It's our Bible. My grandmother, I would be going through something, and she said, well, go read about it. What do you mean, read about it? I didn't understand. God gives us a tool, church. God gives us a tool. Doesn't matter what you're overcome, what you're trying to overcome, doesn't matter what you're facing. It's in here. I'm going to ask you a question this morning. How many times was Jesus struck with a whip? 39 times. Does anybody know why? Anybody know how many major diseases are in the world? 39. That number is not there just because of coincidence. God already paid a price. Amen? God paid a price. How can I overcome my mountains? Well, first we have to identify what your mountain is. We have to identify what our mountain is. Then we have to talk to that mountain. We have to talk to our mountains, church. We have to tell that mountain, you know what, mountain? It may take me a couple days. It may take me a couple weeks. It may take me a couple months. But I'm climbing you. I'm going to get over you. I'm going to get this thing behind me. If I have to walk around that mountain, hey, I ain't got no problem. We'll walk around that mountain 7 times if we have to. We'll walk around that mountain till it's out of my way. Amen. If God can split the Red Sea, if He can split the Red Sea for us to walk right through the middle, don't you think He can't move that mountain out of your way? Don't you think He can't move that mountain out of your way? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, that we serve a God that can move a mountain. A mountain. A mountain out of the way. Amen. And then this is what we have to do. This is step 3 of overcoming your mountain. You ready? Men, we have a problem with this one. We have to be patient. We have to be patient. Whew. You mean to tell me that I got to be patient? That's so hard for you, pastor, to do. It's to be patient. Be patient. Wait on God. Because He knows exactly the time,
yes,
and the place and the area to move. Amen? Let me tell you a story. I had a mountain set before me a couple years ago. I had my own business. I was in the foreclosure business. I was working for doing subcontract to a company out of California. And we were doing foreclosures, getting them ready to put back on the market. And this happened right at Christmas time. And the government, because it's so wonderful, steps right in and stops everything. It says, no more work. No more work until we figure this thing out. And I said, okay, so what am I supposed to do? I got a family. I got 3 kids. I got a wife. And you tell me I can't work? It's Christmas time. My kids ain't gonna understand. So I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. I didn't get on my knees yet. But I said, Lord, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And then I had somebody that was helping me. Took his wallet out, and he handed me $100 bill. He said, here you go. He said, I don't know why, but here's your $100 bill. And I was very grateful. And I looked at that $100 bill, and I said, it's money to pay the power bill. I can't even keep power on in my house. How many's ever been there? I said, I can't even keep the power bill on. And this $100 bill, I took it, and I folded it, opened up my wallet, stuck it in the bag, put it in my pocket, forgot about it. Pastor, you forgot about a $100 bill? I went home. I didn't sleep. I didn't eat. I didn't even tell my wife how much I was worried about it because I didn't want her to worry. And I was thinking, the government's got to do something. This is all I have. This is all I have. Wrong. Wrong. I got the next day and I took the kids to school. I came back home. It was cold outside. I came back home. Church had gotten the tool out. I got what God gave me as a tool. I got my tool out. And I got over here on the couch. And I put the tool down on my couch. And I started walking around the living room. And this is what I told God. I said, God, if I'm supposed to be broke and not have nothing, it's okay. I'm good with that. If I'm supposed to be wealthy, that's okay. I'm good with that. I don't care either way because it's just money. And I said, but I need a sign on what I'm supposed to do. I've got to have you help me, Lord. You got to help me. This is a mountain I can't climb by myself. This is a mountain that ain't a rope long enough. This is a mountain that's too steep. This is a mountain that's got too many rivers in it. This is a mountain that affects my family, Lord. Not me. I don't care about Shane. This is a mountain I need you to help. You need to step in, and you need to guide me, Lord. I was on my knees praying now. I got up, started singing a song, and I can't sing. But I sang a song that said, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Can't even walk without you holding my hand. My granddaddy used to sing that in church. It's an old song. But none of us in this room can do it without him holding our hand. Amen. None of us. I got up. I took my tool. I closed it. I held it to my chest. And I said, thank you, God, for all your many blessings. What did he tell you? At this point, I had not heard a thing. But I had already thought and thanked him. I thank him for all of his blessings. And I said, Jesus, for you I live, for you I die. That's what we all should say. That afternoon, at the time, I had a couple businesses. And one of them, I didn't make anything. I basically had it open to help some other people. And this business had shut down. And when I tell you shut down, I wasn't getting anything. Zero. The government, when they do something, they do it 100%. Mm-hmm. And when they say shut it down, they shut it down. Like, we ain't even helping you. You ain't getting an advancement. You ain't nothing. Nothing. Zero. And I got in my truck and started driving. Didn't know where I was driving. My phone rang. And it was a company. It was an individual calling another company that I had, wanting me to go take care of a house 50 miles from where we were at, almost. And I said, okay. I said, that's my sign. Thank you, Jesus. All right. This business is dead. So God's going to flourish this one, and this business is going to take off and just look by leaps and bounds. And so I had a family member helping me at the time. And we met over at this house, and we started taking care of some of the things in this house, and my phone rang. And it was a guy on the other end says, "Is this Shane Brown?" I said, "It sure is. Look, we need somebody to come take care of this business for us over in Newnan. And we want to pay you more than what you was making when you left us, because I had worked for this company before." And I said, "Let me think about it." Now, a couple hours ago, I was on my knees praying to God, "Lord, you got to show me a sign." Now I'm confused. "God, you showed me this business is going to flourish, or am I supposed to take this job?" It's funny how God works, ain't it? So I asked a family member that was with me, I said, "Look, I'm going to go over here by myself. You stay over here by yourself. You pray. I'm going to pray." I said, "Because we need some answers." And I called my wife on the way home. I said, "You ain't going to believe this." I said, "God has answered twice today." And I got to tell her, and she's like, "Well, Shane, I just don't think you should go back to work for that company." And I said, "Baby, I love you. But I got to do what God has called me to do, not what Becky says is right, not what Shane says is right, but what God has called me to do." And I met with the people that I was working for at the time, or before, and they told me, they said, "Look, we want you to come in making this much money, and we're going to pay you this bonus every month, and blah, 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 blah." And I said, "Lord, thank you." I'm still there today. Now, will I be there next week? I don't know. Will I be there tomorrow this time? I don't know. But I'll tell you this. God answered a prayer. God answered right on time. When the house payment bounced, when the insurance payment bounced, when there was no stuff under the tree for the kids, when there was no lights fixing to be turned out because we didn't have two incomes coming in, God showed up right on time. And ever since then, church, ever since then, listen to me. Ever since then, I ask God what to do first. I don't do what Shane wants to do. I ask God what to do first. And what happens is, when you ask God what to do first, He's going to show up right on time. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
What happened to the $100 bill? I gave it back. And I told that person, I said, "I love you more than you'll ever know. And you'll never know the blessing that was." It was. I never spent it. But it was a wake-up call. And it was a blessing, because I looked at that $100 bill, and I can take you to the place where I got that $100 bill, in a parking lot of a business. And I remember looking at that $100 bill and saying, "My mountain is a whole lot bigger than this $100 bill." But that $100 bill was a wake-up call. I gave that $100 bill back, and I told him, I said, "Put that in the back of your pocket." I said, "Because hopefully I'll never need it again. But it's there for whatever you need it for." Amen?
Amen.
We are overcomers, church. We are overcomers. This month we have learned how to overcome our past. How did we overcome our past? Jesus paid it in full, long time ago. It's in the past. We have overcome hurt. We have overcome fear. We have overcome our insecurities. We have learned how to overcome these. And now mountains. Church, listen to me and I'm closing. Our mountains is exactly what they are. Mountains. This week, going up that 27-mile mountain and down that 27-mile mountain, I got sick because the roads S all the way up and all the way down. But God showed me some things. We do get sick along the way. We do wonder, how much longer is it to the bottom? How much longer is it to the top? When are we going to get there? But listen, when you get to the top, Lord have mercy, it is beautiful. It is beautiful at the top. Because at the top is where the rivers flow. At the top is where the trout bite. At the top is where it's cooler weather. At the top is where you can sit and relax and talk to the Lord and thank Him for everything He's doing in your life. But you got to get there. Amen. So once you get to the top of the mountain, that's it, right, Pastor? Mm-mm. Because when you got to the top, there's going to be a valley. You get your tool out. And you ask God to help you get back up to the mountain. Amen?
Amen.
If I could have one, please stand.